Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 712. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy Pokemon Day, everyone. I hope you're roasting a Pikachu in its honor.
It's Pokemon Day?
I thought it was Miles.
Oh, that's dark.
I think that's Pokemon, not Pokemon.
The little Pokemon.
Earl's here.
I got nothing. I had stuff, and then you folks just kept like, I'm
just right. Immediately.
You guys just fuck it up. Yeah.
And Jeff is here as well.
I was not in the files.
That's good. It's good.
It's good. I don't believe it, but sure.
I could have sworn this was released like several times before.
It's nothing. It's the most.
Well, I mean, and the thing, the stuff thing. That is something. Like, I mean, the guy they voted for is on the list several times.
Yeah. I guess the only thing I saw again, I don't care about any of this because how could you? But I saw like it was just like a list of names and stuff that they published. But everyone, all like the like hardcore believers you see in the replies are like, we've seen this list like years ago, and I was like,
"Yeah, that's exactly, so it's all just
a trick on you." And then the list, it includes Donald Trump, to them it has to have
there's some nefarious secret thing going on, which is why there'll never be peace. Because literally, this has been out there. That's why they're doing this again. It's like they're just trying to dress it up. They got nothing. And it's given not even right me. I mean, it's basically given placebos to idiots.
Yeah, that's a very good description of it.
But it's not Pokemon Day, or I mean, that's not really what happened there anyway.
He was pokey.
Yeah, pokey with like areas. Yeah, with young people, so we'll stay off of that and go back to Pokemon Day, which I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, really?
Earl, Tony, you guys want to fill us in on that?
So every year on February 27th, it's Pokemon Day, and they announce a bunch of Pokemon stuff. There's all these like Pokemon streams.
I did hear about the Pokemon Presents stream today. I did hear about that.
That was today because today is Pokemon Day.
Okay.
Just for the record, Pokemon Day is this day originally released in Japan. And it's like they officially started doing it in 2017. So yeah, almost a decade now of Pokemon Day content. I guess part of 2016, because I was going to say part of what they announced today, this is the 29th anniversary of Pokemon. So I assume they'll go out next year for the 30th edition of, 30th anniversary of Pokemon.
That makes sense. So I did, as I mentioned, there was that Pokemon Presents stream. I did not watch it, but I have a little list up here of some stuff that was announced. I guess the big thing was they showed off Pokemon Legends ZA.
Yeah.
Which is the second Pokemon Legends game. I did not catch any of this stream. Is ZA the one that's kind of more futuristic looking?
Yes,
Lumiose City, like the whole.
Yes, it's more modern than Legends was, because Legends was like set in the past of the region. That was it. So this is more current. I think the big hook with this one, hopefully they'll reveal more, is that you do seem to be not confined necessarily to a city, but the big hub is a giant city instead of the wilderness, and then there's different like regions of wild Pokemon within that city that you can then battle and capture.
Well, I did like, I did not finish Arceus, but I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I did like what I played of that, so. Could be fun.
I enjoy it too. The only thing I will say I was surprised by the release date. One wasn't given, but they very, very, very much emphasized that this is coming late in 2025. I figured this would be more of a first half title because, as far as we know, and I think they've done a, they usually do a pretty decent job with this, is that this is a Switch title, not a cross-gen title. So it's surprising that this seems like this is more closely aligned to a holiday release than it is kind of a swan song for your current system, which it will be, but after the other system comes out.
So, and they did not, I mean, I guess they're keeping everything Switch 2 kind of closer, so it's not, I guess they didn't reveal if there will be a Switch 2 version or not either.
Yes. There was no, it's very weird. I mean, I guess it's not weird, it's Nintendo, that they announced the Switch 2 back over a month ago now. And we still have more than a month to go until we actually reveal it. You would think that you reveal it early so that other publishers could get in and start saying, like, oh, this game is coming to the Switch 2 as well. Yeah. It's when it comes to, like, not major titles. Like, okay, I'm not, it's weird to say Pokemon isn't a major title, but in terms of, we've known, like, ZA was announced last year, and so we know it exists. To be like, yeah, it's coming to the Switch 2, or, like, it will be enhanced for the Switch 2. I mean, the positive is the Switch 2 plays Switch games, so even if you were to trade it and you still have access to it. But yeah, it's weird how radio silent Nintendo has been about anything with the Switch 2 after its announcement. It's been, like, I know they're doing the hands-on events right after that presentation, but I've heard, like, very little even buzz about what to expect.
There's some notes that I caught while we were kind of like looking this over. It has parkour and platforming elements to it, so like you can actually explore the city this time around. Because I don't think that was really something you could do in Arceus at all. Like you just kind of like wandered the wilderness.
Yeah, which I
think sounds like a more Scarlet Violet type.
Yeah. Thing. And they're also adding real-time dodges and commands. So this says it makes it feel more like the anime, but just feels more a little more action RPG at that point. That could be cool. Add a little different element to it. Some other stuff they added here. Nothing that's like super big. Pokemon Champions was announced for Switch and mobile. That's a PvP game where you can fight with your Pokemon from older games.
Yeah, it looks like an evolution of the Pokemon Stadium games. I'm very curious to see more about it because I did enjoy Stadium, but it's also one of those things where I'm curious what it is because part of the novelty of Stadium was you were taking a handheld 2D game and seeing the characters in 3D on the big screen.
Yeah.
For the first, we've had them on 3D. We've had them on consoles for a decade now. And you have, you know, it's online. You can battle your friends and stuff or random strangers on the internet. So I'm curious to see what the big hook is for this one.
Yep. Be interested to see how that plays out. See what else here. I guess more Pokemon Go stuff is happening. Pokemon Sleep. I'm not sure what that is.
Pokemon Go to the polls.
Pokemon Sleep is a sleep app that they released a couple years ago, which I don't know how it works exactly, but I Pokemon noises and I think Pokemon show up depending on how well you sleep at night. It's a way to kind of help train you to sleep better, which is, home. Pokemon exists in all weird avenues. And I did watch this presentation. It's so fascinating to see. Because Pokemon is one of those franchises that I do enjoy, but I'm not really, like, people are into Pokemon. And just sitting there being like, oh, right, I forgot the trading card game. Masters, yep. Go, Seep, Cafe. I'm like, right, these are all games that exist and they're all getting updates. Sure.
Pokemon is huge. Love it. Love it, live it.
Well, if you love it, Tony, there's also new episodes coming to whatever, I guess, the latest anime.
No, it's not the anime.
Oh, is it? What the hell is it? It's
like a stop motion.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
It's a Netflix thing, a Pokemon Concierge.
Yes.
Because the anime is something completely different.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. I just looked what it was, and that's nightmarish.
Yeah, it's like a hotel.
And Gromit.
A hotel run by Psyduck? So.
I will say the EV that I'm seeing here, kind of cute. The rest of this a little bit creepy, though. Like, the Psyduck has, like, fur.
It's
supposed to have fur. It's a mammal, obviously. A duck mammal.
Okay.
A platypus.
Yes. It just looks weird. Alright, well, okay. What is a Bulbasaur, then? Why does that have fur? Kind of looks like half plant, half...
Dinosaurs had fur, didn't you know? It's a
yeah, sure.
New discovery in paleontology.
Okay. I mean,
sure.
We'll take it. So that's Pokemon Day. Happy Pokemon Day, everybody. Sounds wonderful. And I think that's all that really kind of stuck out to me news-wise for this week. There was an ID at Xbox thing that happened. Nothing really jumped out there except Balatro is now on Game Pass.
Great, after I bought it twice.
Twice.
Well, now you can play it again. Cool,
I was actually like, as soon as I saw it, I was like texting one of my coworkers, hey man, fucking download this game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, if they have Game Pass, might as well.
Yeah, I know, like, with one coworker who has Xbox and Game Pass, I was like, dude, check this out. He's like, is this the game you were talking about? And I was like, no, that was Avowed. But this is like poker. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's word funny too, because again, a lot of people are getting into it and stuff like that. So I had saw some of the same conversations we had where, again, it's very hard to explain to people, but you don't need to know poker. And just seeing people being like, oh, I don't know poker that well. It's like, you don't need to. If anything, it really helps. And they do kind of give you an idea of what the hands are. So, again, you'll figure it out. It's
one of the... weirdly, though, it's like the inverse of that for me, because it feels like one of those things you could just recommend to a dude bro, and like, because you kind of assume they will know poker, you know what I mean? So it's like an easy coworker recommend. Like, hey, man, you like poker? Check this, you know.
I think it's something you recommend in that way, but I also, I guess from where I'm coming from,
You can do it vice versa.
If you don't know poker, it's not going to hurt you.
It's not overwhelming in any way.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. If it hurts you, it hurts you like the first two or three games.
It'll teach you poker in a way.
Yeah. Like. Yes. Granted, you know, poker does not have hitting cards and chokers. But it teaches you to
make the You're going to be in trouble when you play your first poker game in real life. But hey,
yes.
You'll have like a basic understanding of certain things.
Yes. And then the types of poker. So I always think about, like, when I was growing up, the big poker game where he's the one they always showed with five card stud. And I think now, what is that one called where the cards are flipped over on the table?
Texas Hold'em.
Texas Hold'em seems to be the big style.
Oh my God, Earl, you're pointing me.
What?
When we were kids, it was like five card draw, right, Tony? Like
that. Earl was a kid. Earl was a kid when it was Texas Hold'em.
He's not that much younger than us. Come on. When we were kids, like when in the 90s, five card draw.
I always thought it called five card stud, because that's when you got five cards and it's like, okay, you know, I'm gonna get rid of
it. And you're stuck with these five cards.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, stud. I always played five card draw. I never played stud.
I think for me, the big one, the big turning point for it becoming Texas Hold'em, at least in my head, was Casino Royale. I'm sure that was way late, dude.
It was like the early 2000s. Did it really?
Casino Royale came out in 2005? No, 2006.
Well, so that it's about the same time. So, like, Chris Moneymaker, when he won the World Series of Poker, which was the thing that made it big, because that was when they came out with the hold card game. I think that was 2005.
Okay.
What? All right. When did Rounders come out? Let's see. Rounders.
Rounders came out. We were.
That Rounders came out in the 90s.
That was before 90. Then. Yeah.
So I think Rounders was the tip off of that, though. Like, 90 Rounders. That was like, you know, I was freshman in college in 2000, and like Rounders was a frequent watch, right? That exploded on like ESPN and everywhere. Like, you could watch poker everywhere. And so it just became like part of the culture, and you started playing it way more. And I mean, that's, I think Rounders is largely Rounders. And I think you're right, Chris Moneymaker. That whole crop of players, kind of like that era. I remember Daniel Negreanu. I loved watching him. Yeah.
Doyle Brunson. I mean,
Doyle Brunson.
Phil Hellmuth. Everybody hated him. He's Mike still out there. Mouth Matisau. Like,
has Texas Hold'em fallen off in popularity?
I think it's still very, very popular, but it was mainstream popular in like the early to mid 2000s. Like where like everybody
knew
it, was playing it. You know, I'd be playing it with my sister and her boyfriend. Like, it was just like, it exploded, but it's still huge. I'm sure. Like, I think they probably get so many people now for like the World Series that the buy-in is probably not that bad.
10,000 isn't what it used to be. I mean,
is it still 10,000?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you don't need to buy in to play Velotro, so.
That's true. Yeah, and that was the original point.
Not on game.
That was the original. That part of poker, I don't think it helps you translate, because it's just, you get what, I get 9 cards or something. I forget how much you actually draw. So you get a much bigger hand, and it does not care what kind of it. You don't play against anybody on the table. So yes, but yeah, still a great game. Game of the year. 2024.
While we were talking, go ahead, Earl.
What I was going to say with the big news of the week, always disappointing, is the whole Warner Brothers stuff with Mayunuth and the Wonder Woman game and WB San Diego.
Studios, yeah.
Yeah.
Monolith, most recently they were the Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War, Middle Earth. Guys, but they've been around forever. They did the Fear games. For me, I remember them from No One Lives Forever back in the early 2000s.
Oh my God.
they did that. I didn't realize they did the Matrix Online, which was around for a while. They did Condemned 1 and 2. On the 360, and then the PS3 and 360, before, you know, recently doing the Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War games. And they haven't done anything since 2017.
It's just a while ago now.
Yeah. And as Earl said, they were working on a Wonder Woman game, which was canceled. So that's kind of disappointing.
Sure.
Quite.
The other studio, they closed 3, I think, right, Earl?
Yes. So, okay, so you mentioned one. The other one was, I don't know what WB San Diego did. I apologize to them. I probably should have looked it up at some point this week. but the other one was Player First Games, I think, was the developers behind Multiverses. And we kind of, Multiverses is being mothball and whatever, and there was a lot of decisions. But what I didn't realize is that we bought them last summer.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think somebody posted they bought them in June or July of last year.
That's what you do. You buy, and then you shut it down.
Then why buy?
Business 101.
That doesn't doesn't make any sense. You wasted more money buying him than if you just said, oh, we're not going to continue this partnership. At least then they would have either found another thing or...
Did they buy them after they kind of... came out? Yeah. And then, but after they kind of like shelved it, or like after it came out, and then they were like, all right, let's do it. And then they shelved it.
I think it was after it came out. Because when it re-released last summer? Yeah, okay. So they were founded in 2019 and acquired by Warner Brothers Games in July of 2024. So.
And already gone. I can't find anything on WB San Diego, so.
They don't exist. They're not
okay,
real.
So the game was fully released in May of 2024. So that means they bought them about a month and a half later. So maybe they thought it was going to be a much bigger deal than it was. And it did not pan out that way. I would also say, and you know, I understand you can't keep pumping money into something endlessly. I feel like a lot of people just kind of give up on these. Well, I mean, there's a twofold thing we've talked about before. Games as services. As a person who is hopelessly addicted to Fortnite, I understand the concept of a forever game. I get it. I'm all for it. But the problem is, every game can't be a forever game. There's only one forever game. You don't have five forevers. The other thing, though, is you don't find an audience and you're just like, okay, that's it. There's never any... Like, it seems like Multiverse's big problem was how it was set up. If you found a way to, like, make it more user-friendly and not everything costing money or a grind, you could have tried that first instead of being like, nope, we're not making money, so nobody wants this.
Jeff, also kind of sad from here, but Snowblind Studios, who did Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, Champions of Norrath, and then the sequel to Champions, they had merged into Monolith.
Years
ago. Like, it, you know, they haven't really been a thing since like 2012, but they, you know, they're effectively gone now too. So
they're gone again. Yeah.
can't find anything on San Diego though.
Doesn't exist. It's a figment of their imagination. Maybe they'd make more money if they stopped paying studios that didn't exist.
Let's get Doge in on this.
Have them investigate. Yeah, I bet they'll find a 55 bajillion trillion million dollars in waste somewhere.
Or at least everyone's personal information.
Definitely find out.
And then the other thing with the Wonder Woman game getting canceled, and that was, I mean, that's just a kick in the balls. It also just kind of goes back to that notion of, like, we need to stop announcing games so far in advance.
Before they exist.
Yeah. Because, what was this? Game wasn't announced last year. Was it 2022 or 2020? I think it was 2022. And literally, the only thing was, like, it's in production. And we heard nothing about it in that entire time until its cancellation.
Well, apparently, at some point, it was scrapped. Or like redone, because they tried to implement the Nemesis system from Shadows of Mordor and couldn't do it.
Well, like, it's not that they tried to do it and then that's not what the higher ups wanted. Because I think there's an easy way, because what they were thinking of, and I thought it sounded interesting, and you know, it's always more interesting in your head than the product, was because Wonder Woman. I hate how she's been portrayed in media, really, in general, because they make her such a warrior fighter, because everybody's always a God of War with Wonder Woman. She'd be an easy sell. And she's an Amazon. She can fight. She's probably one of the best fighters in the DC universe. I grant you that. But the whole arc of her character is she's also a peacetime person. She fights when she needs to fight. And I like the idea of, oh, you could also try to befriend your enemies and your monsters, and that would also change how that Nemesis system would work, where, like, maybe people would become more friendly or just antagonistic to you. and I think there was potential for that. I do think that complicates it a bit more, but you know, this is why people get paid that money to figure that stuff out. But it sounds like that they couldn't get it to work, and that's not what they were interested in doing. So, yeah, again, if that's not the case, I don't understand how God of War but Wonder Woman doesn't work as a backup.
They announced it December 9th, 2021. So probably right around the Game Awards.
And I think right around when it started development, from what Iguri, I think it started development in mid 2021.
Yeah. So, and now that you guys have jogged my memory, I remember from earlier in maybe the same day, I think maybe a day before, Xbox delayed Fable. Jeff alerted me to this. Delayed it from, I guess it was kind of confirmed in quotes for this year, but they are moving it to 2026.
Shocker that this game that we knew nothing about that was supposed to come out this year.
Right. That we really haven't seen much of.
I don't think we've seen any like real, maybe a little bit of real footage, right? Maybe in the last.
I thought we've seen gameplay of it sometime last year.
I've never been a huge fan of Fable, but you know, I don't know. It's not a huge surprise though. Like this is one of those ones where it's like, yeah, saw that come.
Yeah. And the other one that has kind of leaked out because it was raided in Singapore. We're still not really sure 100% on this, what's happening, but it seems like it is a real game. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4.
Yes.
Is coming soon. There's speculation that it's coming next Tuesday. I don't know if I buy into that.
Announcement.
Maybe the announcement on a Tuesday.
I'm also worried. Here's my one worry, because everybody is like, it's obviously 3 and 4, right? Which is great. Like, those are two of the best Tony Hawk games. To get them remade, like 1 and 2. Oh my god, it would just be so much fun. I'd lose a month of my life. Yeah. But I did see something like, oh, it might just be like a Call of Duty thing. Which is possible, because it's all under the same, you know, umbrella now.
I mean, that was before anyway. Activision has always owned Tony Hawk.
That's true, I hope that's not it. It seems so obvious that it has to be 3 and 4, and again, there goes a month. There goes, like, man, I'll have so much fun playing that game for like at least a month. Probably play it a bunch over the summer. It's something I'll probably play all year.
So lending more credence to it being a 3 and 4 remaster remake, Jeff, is that a Pro Skater accidentally leaked.
That was the very first thing. That was before they updated their website and everything. I saw that, and one of the Pro Skaters was like, there's something coming up with Tony. Like, I guess he must have not known he shouldn't say that. And then,
isn't also that like a thing with him, like always spoiling stuff accidentally? Like Tony Hawk specifically?
It wasn't him. It was someone that's in the game.
It's a skater called Tyson James. But yes, Tony Hawk is notorious for.
Yeah, it'd be like, we're working on something. Yeah. Also, the date. 3-4, yeah. As the announcement. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Now, it would be awesome if they announce it and release it that day. Holy shit, dude. Happy birthday to me. But like I don't foresee it being like a long wait. I feel like if they announce it on Tuesday, at the longest we'll wait, I think it's gonna be like, oh, it's coming out in August. Like, it's just, I don't, and this is just me talking on my ass, but just, it's just how it feels.
They should be cute, announce it on 3-4, release it on 4-3. But
yeah, that'd be awesome.
But I don't know about you guys. I think 3 and 4 are some of the best. Like,
yeah.
My favorite will always be Tony Hawk Underground 1. I know a lot of people checked out by then, but
I have probably more nostalgia for 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But like, if you go back and actually try to play original 1 and 2,
there's so many missing. Like, they don't have the reverts.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You expect it to play, like, your memory is that it plays like 3 and 4 did.
Yeah, and it's like, the revert doesn't come till 3, and the revert is like when you land, you can kind of like swirl your board around and go into a manual and continue your combo, which is huge. It's like, if you're on a half fight, you could just keep continuing your combo, going back and forth with that, and that's not in the first two. They did add, I think they added the revert to the 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like, you know, spine transfer, this and that. And then, like, I think, you know, the levels in 3 and especially 4. 4 kind of had, like, this open world kind of thing going where you would go to different levels. Again, I think that series, like, gets kind of unfairly maligned as it went along. Like, I think Tony Hawk's Underground 1 is really good. I think Project 8 is, like, sadly forgotten. But 3 and 4 were kind of, like, to me, I know a lot of people, for a lot of people, it's like 1 and 2 because that's what they remember. That's what they, like, that's what Tony Hawk was new to played. They really refined it in 3 and 4. And beyond just, like, the moveset thing, like, the level designs are more expansive and
they could just more do fun more because they were on the PS2 at that point.
Yeah.
PS2, GameCube, Xbox, as opposed to just being on the PlayStation for 1 and 2.
But the thing is, I have to relearn how to play every time because it's a game that like requires some skill, like where you're just like,
yes,
even if you know how to play, it's like, man, I'm fucking rusty as shit. And eventually, I get up there. Like you saw, Chris, I put up some good times in the remake.
Yeah, it's not something you can just. It's not like a first person shooter. Like you can't just like jump right back in. Like all right, I got this. Like
it takes some time to really get.
You find the right paths. You find where like you can hit tricks. You find what tricks work for you as a player. 4 is where I checked out on the series, so I hope they kind of continue to remake these. Because I never played Underground 2, Wasteland,
any of that stuff. So. Underground is so cool. Oh my god! But you did play 4.
Yeah, I played 3 and 4, and then I think I jumped back into it with 5, which was terrible. We talked about that 5. A decade ago at this point. Remember it was they were bringing it back. Was after it's so bad.
Underground 1 and 2 are like really great, like really great, and yes. Then they did one called American Wasteland, which got shit on, which is also like had a great soundtrack and a unique art style. The only one I thought was bad, like out of the normal Tony Hawk games, was the one after Project 8, which was I can't remember the name of it, but it was bad.
Proving Ground,
and that was that one was actually bad. Like it was like actively bad, and it was also like becoming one of flipping them out every year, and just kind of just losing the magic. Like
That was Activision's fucking MO, right? Like, let's find a thing, and then we're just going to franchise it to hell.
It was kind of their Call of Duty for a little bit.
They did it with Guitar Hero. Yeah.
Yeah. Being on, they really lost the magic, and then, like, it just fell apart from there. It was like, now we're doing, like, a skateboarding peripheral thing, and... But up until then, like, honestly, dude, I just thought it was maybe not as good, but Tony Hawk's Underground 1 and 2 were really fun. And Tony Hawk's Underground actually had, like, a fun story in it. So invested, like, it was very weird in a Tony Hawk game to be invested in the story of what was going on.
Well, yeah, because up, I don't remember there being a story in 3 or 4.
No, there's kind of like
levels
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like, yeah.
So kind of neat that they were able to kind of make something work there. Excited for this though.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony
Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4.
Day one. Fuck yeah! I can't wait.
Looking forward to that.
Just three quick things.
Yeah.
Number one. One, they announced that Dauntless is closing down. I'm sure we're all sad about that. I just wanted to bring it up, one, because it goes on that game, you know, what died in 2025, this. But also, it was actually one of those games that has a very, you know, special place in my heart because it was a game that was free to play during the pandemic. So me and my friends got it out of a four-player, you know, knockoff Monster Hunter that we could kill some time with when we're stuck inside for a year and a half. But apparently, again, kind of like multiverses that we talked about earlier, the game was doing well, so they wanted to get greedier. They made a big change and like put everything behind a paywall. And like 6 months later, they're closing down the game. So, yay for money!
Look at Earl updating the nominations list
in real time. number two, I don't know if anybody else has seen this. They announced the new game Terminator 2D No Fate.
No.
Announced today, the 2D Terminator game that very much looks like Terminator via Contra. And I guess the big hook here is it's Terminator 2. It's based off the story of Terminator 2. But there's multiple endings and multiple playable characters that you could play as the T. Honors the T-100 or the T-800? T-800. You can play as Sarah Connor, and it looks like you can play as John Connor in the future scenario, and I assume partially in the present day as well. So what they showed, you know, they had like the big motorcycle chase with the 18-wheeler, Sarah's escape from the prison, the T-800 debut in the bar.
They do Arnold naked.
Yeah.
This looks awesome.
It looks really good.
Did they announce a date, Earl?
I think September.
Okay.
I would say September 25th in my head, but I don't know if that was something else that.
September 5th. Okay.
And this isn't news so much, and I assume none of you tortures yourself like this. They released the final Minecraft trailer today. And
I did not catch that.
The Minecraft movie, that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I don't. I feel like every time I see more of this movie, I know that's about it. Like, I mean, I get the gist of it. It's, I assume, humans in like Jason Momoa, and Jetpack is a character in the game.
He's Steve, he's right?
Steve, but yes. But everybody else, so he's the, you know, the tour guide, essentially. And then Jason Momoa and his family are transported here. And it's like, this world is so weird and crazy. And then, so you have all these human characters. And then you have the Minecraft look. And they have the Minecraft look. I mean, they're higher quality. And it just looks so jarring and weird. And I don't understand. It's such a strange movie. I'm curious to see what the hell it does when it comes out in a month or so.
Oh, is it that soon? Wow.
Yeah, it's like April 4th.
Okay.
April 4th. Lose all faith in humanity. Good luck, everyone.
if we make
we're
it that long.
For that. We're late for that.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in going to see this in a theater, but I'll watch it when it hits some sort of streaming service.
Minecraft, so bad,
yeah,
nightmarish.
Oh, it's a Warner Brothers movie, so yeah. It shouldn't take that long to for
it. give it like 6 weeks, it'll be on
or max. Max, yeah.
I just called it Go.
That's been going for like 5 years.
April is going to be a very fascinating month for video games, because Until Dawn's out at the other end of the month, it's April 25th, and that'll be The Last of Us Season 2 premieres in April as well.
Maybe I should watch the first season of that.
You excuse me. You haven't watched The Last of Us?
No.
Oh, it's good. It's pretty good. I have no idea what to expect out of season two, having not played the game, but they did a good job adapting the first season.
I'd be interested to see how you if you watch it, how it works for you. Because I have played the game, so like I don't have a problem with the story of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I know people did, so I'd be interested to see how, like, you having not seen, having not no real knowledge of the story because you didn't play it,
yeah,
how it works for you.
I mean, I know
things. Certain, there are good to play things that have leaked.
Yeah, there are certain things that are, like, became so, like, such a big deal that, like, I kind of know. I really don't. Like, it'll kind of be a surprise to me. So that'll be fun. I do, yeah, like, I still stand by, and I will always stand by that, like, The Last of Us, the story of The Last of Us should have ended at the end of the first game. Like, that story, that's the ending. Like, that's how it should end. And so, like, doing more of it, we'll see how I feel. Maybe I'll feel differently after I see the second season, but I'll be watching.
Okay. Maybe I'll get to that before you said sometime in April that's coming, Earl.
April 14th.
Okay. So I got that's only, I think the first season was only what, like 8-10 episodes. It's not very long, so
Evie's coming back, man. We got that and Andor coming same month. Oh man. Psyched.
I'm very curious to see Andor. In the sense that it's doing the whole, what is it? They're doing weekly releases, but three episodes a week, and then each in between each week they're skipping a year, or they're doing a time jump. So I'm very
curious. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's too complicated. I already don't understand it. Lost.
That's cool.
I should use the force. Use the force.
Just give me the episodes. I'll watch them. All right. Well, I think that's it for news. I think we've kind of covered everything there. What have you guys been playing?
Same old
this week.
Yeah.
Some more Avowed, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of Avowed.
Yeah. Lots of Avowed. Avowed. Much like I kind of like said what I had to say about it last week. I don't think I have much more to say except I did bump it up to normal difficulty and something's wrong. I feel like I have a very strong sword and just it's taking too long to kill things on normal difficulty. So
Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, I think unlike the rest of you, I'm playing as a mage. So I'm using magic. I don't like the magic is cool. It feels the right strength. For weapons, I'm using the wand, which is, you know, sort of a ranged attack.
Yeah.
It feels right. I also feel like as a mage, I should be standing behind my compatriots as they fight. I'm like, trying to avoid the enemies, and that's sort of the experience I'm getting. Like, it feels like I am a mage in a CRPG.
Yeah.
So
except that it happens to be first person.
I will say this, Tony. You're mentioning that now.
Yeah.
It's if you were to lose the first person view and just kind of like do this from a normal CRPG viewpoint, I think that's what this game is. Like,
that is exactly what this game is. Yes.
We're just playing this game. We're playing a CRPG game, but in first person and with action combat instead of, you know, turn-based tactical combat. But
which, as I play this game, I'm like, this is the game that I wish the new Dragon Age had been. This is the game that it should have been. This is how it should have been. Like in that universe, like with BioWare's world building and like the budget they had for that game, as opposed to the budget they had for Avowed, which obviously is less. It just it feels like it would play better that way. So I kind of like that feel. It's definitely different, like, but it's clearly not an action game. Like, there's very little bit is based on timing. Like, you can almost, I think I said this last week, you can feel the dice rolling as you're pushing the button. Almost.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, to get the result of what you're doing.
I think this is weird, because we're all playing the three different classes.
Yeah.
Jeff,
yeah.
You're playing like a fighter side.
Yeah.
Tony's playing the more magic, yeah. And I'm the ranger in the middle. So like I feel I'm getting Tony's experience when I'm engaging with things at range. And I feel like range combat feels, you know, it's impactful. It's really yeah. cool. Like you can charge up the bow. I'm actually using like a rifle now, which is kind of cool. But when I get up with the hand-to-hand combat, Jeff, I feel very much like you. Like, these things are very spongy. Like, my weapons are not doing... And, like, I'm upgrading them as best I can or utilizing what I'm finding, if it's better. But I don't feel that, like, hitting people with swords is very successful.
Well, that's interesting, because, like, I do feel... like even the melee combat is very deliberative, and it feels very like weighty, and again, like I feel like I'm making decisions even as I'm playing the melee combat. But sometimes, because my secondary, what I have as my secondary is the wand and the grimoire, and it's kind of amazing how, even though my intellect is only like, I think my intellect is like level 2, like,
mm-hmm.
if I shoot or something, it's pretty powerful. Like, it pretty like hurts them pretty bad, and I'm just like, well, why? Like, meanwhile, like my might is like level 10, and I have a sword that does like 175 physical damage, and I'm like having this like hack away at regular foes for like minutes, like literally like circle dancing around them and fucking fighting them for minutes before they fucking go down. I'm like, geez, dude, like power, like it felt right when I went below normal difficulty, and now I'm back on normal, and I'm like, man, like these enemies don't feel, and it's not that I'm rushing through the game. I'm doing literally every side quest I could find. And if I'm going towards a side quest or a quest or any quest, if I see something interesting off the side, like it looks like a temple or something, I'm gonna go explore that whole fucking. And it's still, I'm like, how am I feeling underleveled?
And
but other than that, I'm enjoying
there's
it.
There's no real way to grind up to get more powerful either.
Right. Like, enemies don't spawn randomly. Like, I think it could just kind of stuck with who's there, right?
Do the enemies give you XP, or is it just doing missions?
Yeah, you get XP for killing enemies, but they remain dead. So, like, there is a set amount of enemies in each area. So, like, once you kill out a camp, like, that camp doesn't respawn. You've killed them all. If I just got into, let's see, it's like the Utah looking area. It's like deserts and lots of like craggly mountains and stuff. So there's like, so there's these, they're not dream scourgers. It's not the people infected with the thing you're investigating. It's these other things that are crazy as well.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, if you clear all them out, like they're done. Like they don't come back. So there's a set amount of experience in each of the levels.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there is a lot of side quests. And then once you get into the desert area, there's a bounty board.
Yep.
Which the bounty board
in the initial area too.
Yeah, there's a bounty board everywhere, each area.
I took a bounty off. I'm in the desert area now, which I think feels massive for what it is. It's like pretty huge.
Feels bigger than the other two areas.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And then that is when I turned the difficulty up back to normal. I was trying to fight these two guys. I was like, geez, man, like, this is taking a lot to take these guys down. Like, I've still stayed on normal, but I'm just kind of surprised considering how much, like, exploring I actually am doing and, like, crafting and stuff that I feel so underleveled when I don't feel like I'm rushing this game at all. Like, I'm really and still I'm just like, geez, if you play on normal you just feel like overwhelmed. But other than that, I don't really have much to add to it. It's again, it's what I expected, and it's I'm having a lot of fun.
Tony, how far in are you now?
So I'm still wandering around. I've obviously gotten off the tutorial island, and I'm in the main town, and I'm starting to do all the side quests in that area. The one thing I've noticed is it seems to encourage you to do the side quests first, because it seems like the main missions are like way over level for like if you just should I do them straight.
Well, and there's not a lot of main missions, so like you can do like one or two and you're done in the area and you move on.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you kind of want to do the bounty. Hey, you want to do
there's
the
side so many quest. Things. There is a lot of things you can find. I'm sure I've missed a ton, but there's a lot of things you could find. And interestingly, in the desert area, Chris, one of the side quests I found first was like all the way across the map. Mm-hmm. So it allowed me to get the XP of going across the map.
Discovering the areas, there's some like, shit. There's some cool side quests in there. Jeff, did you pick up the one where the guy is like, he wants you to go... He asks you to go get a package. Okay, there's like one of these missions in each area, but in the desert area, like if you're in the main town, right by the bounty board, like he's like, hey, come over here, and like you go talk to him. He's like, I want you to go pick up a package. So if you like you do that mission, it's like you have to do some like cool platforming to get up to where that area is.
Yeah.
And then And then there's like a neat choice that you can make. It doesn't do anything, but there's an achievement that pops if you choose a certain dialogue choice afterwards. But it's neat. There's some neat shit in the game.
Yeah. The platforming comes up a lot. Something I mentioned last week is stuck out more as I go on. It's like kind of the thing that distinguishes itself from the other like other games that this is. You know what I mean? Like this is kind of Skyrim and Outer Worlds and any of that shit again. But yeah, the platforming like really
the verticality.
Because we're just like, how do I get up here? And you'll try like scaling the side of a mountain, like jumping and trying to break the game, right? Like
you wouldn't jump around this.
But maybe there's a way around. Like you just have to like start thinking about the look at the map. Maybe I can go all the way around. Maybe there's a way. Though, like I've always kind of like this type of games. So, again, it doesn't have to like innovate too much. Graphics and the platforming. I'm still having fun with it a lot. It's all I've been playing. Like, basically that and Balatro.
I am enjoying it. I do think that the main story is just not engaging at all.
Yeah, again, it's like, it's weird to me because like I'm watching it and I'm like, this is so similar to any other RPG like this. What was it about Baldur's thing? Like, this is not so different. Like, the presentation is not so different from Baldur's Gate. But I play Baldur's really invested in what they're saying and what is going on. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but
I think
that story is just so much better written than this one. This one is it's just a bunch of cliches and a bunch of random stuff together.
Yes.
Like, Baldur's Gate, it was so well knit together. To the point where you couldn't tell, the whole thing felt alive. This does not feel alive. It feels dead.
I think you saying it feels alive kind of points to it, where it was like, not only was it better written, it felt such an active participant in that, and that I could shape what was going on, and it would have real consequences, and that was true.
Yeah.
It was not like, yeah, it was not, you know, it was not fake. You could really shape what happens in that game, and here it's like, I don't know, man, but it kind of just feels like cookie cutter, like you're cookie cuttering from one thing to another.
There are a lot of times in the dialogue, like, okay, so you go into that one area in the first town, and there's this big thug who, like, yells at you and tells you he's going to beat you up if you screw up one time. And, like, I ended up having to do that, like, three times, and I chose different dialogue options each time, and I realized he said the same thing no matter what I chose.
Yes, there's that too. It's like, that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, no matter what you choose, it's kind of gonna be the same. Like, and like,
there are certain characters that you can kind of like talk around and talk down. Cause there's actually an achievement for being able to. It's not talk your way out of it, but it's like, you know, settle conflicts peacefully.
But like, that was a clear sign that this wasn't a case that I could do stuff. Like,
yeah.
So this dialogue that we're having right now doesn't actually matter. It's kind of
an illusion. It's an illusion of a choice. Whereas in Baldur's Gate 3, it was like, you could, like, at all points in that game, through the combat, through the dialogue, through everything, you could seriously affect the outcome of things to come after that in like just very, very significant ways. And here it's like a lot of other RPGs where it's just like an illusion that you could do, like, they have a choice. It's kind of just like, we're scripted this game. This is where it's going.
And it's fine, right? Like, this is candy. Like, it's not.
It's fun, dude.
The game is fun. I don't think we're shitting on it. It's just not like top tier like Baldur's Gate was, I think, is the.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to point out what it is, and also why, like, my attention span for the story is more. It goes back to like a lot of other RPGs where it's like the little quests are kind of more interesting.
For sure,
that stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I think the little quests, I mean, they're not like superbly written, but there's like some cool ones out there that you'll come across. Like, in each of the areas, there's at least like one or two quests that, like, this was neat. Like, has a neat little kind of narrative hook to it. But like, the main quest is just like, I don't really care about the Dream Scourge. In fact, I've forgotten most of what I remembered from the beginning of it. It's like, I just remember it's like something that makes everybody look like me. Like, but those people are crazy and try to kill you. I'm just kind of like you, Jeff. I'm just kind of enjoying like exploring the areas and then, you know, jumping around in the platforming areas.
Yeah.
Trying to find, like, you know, there's different temples and there's just different areas to kind of explore and poke at in the game. That stuff is super fun, and I think they do a good job with it. And I like that. Yeah, I like that they have like the different kind of areas, zones.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, well, now I have this whole new thing I can explore. That works pretty cool too.
And they feel pretty vast. Saying this, it's like Sonic Frontiers, where it's like, that was like the open world Sonic game, but except it was broken up into zones, and this is the same thing. It's like, there's zones, but they're so massive that it almost feels like an open world. Like, there's definitely freedom to explore, and yeah, like, I guess so far, at least for me, it's been like, it's just being that. Like, if you like that type of game, like, if you like that Skyrim type of game, here's another one. But it's differentiating itself, I think, a lot of ways with the verticality and the platforming. Yeah. That might not be a huge thing to some people, but like again, it didn't need to be a huge thing to me. Like, I like these types of games. I like the spin on it. I like having that platforming element. So I'm having fun.
The other thing, and I did mention this last week, is I think the encumbrance in this is just stupid because the only things that weigh anything are your armor and weapons that you pick up.
Yeah.
Everything else has no weight. So like the fact that there's an encumbrance at all is kind of dumb, but I do like that like all your crafting materials don't weigh anything. You can carry a ton of them. Can't really craft unless you go back to your base anyway, but
I don't think I've had to think about it once though, since I'm a warrior, like a fighter. Like my fucking carry capacity is like over 300 now, I think.
Looks like every time you upgrade, is it might stuff, the strength category, it like ups your damage, your melee damage, but also ups your
carry weight.
So
it's just so I've never run into anything with it. Like I have so many things on me right now. I'm like, how? And I guess you're right. Some of it doesn't weigh anything because I have so many things on me right now.
And I mentioned earlier I'm using a rifle now. That's a cool, it's just something different.
Yeah.
Having a firearm, and the animation for it is pretty cool because it's it's a rifle. You'll put like the ball into it, and then they'll stuff the ball down with the little little rod to get it to the
rammer.
Like
10 seconds.
Yeah.
10 seconds to fucking
The reload takes a little bit of time. It's neat though. It's like just a cool animation. It looks neat. It's a cool change of I still like the bow because you can charge the bow with your magic energy, but having a rifle that does 200 damage the map is pretty cool.
I should transition to my secondary being a rifle. I really should.
That would be fun. I think I will now. Having heard,
it just feels like my class is all about like power. I should maybe do that instead of. I just like having. I love having like. I like being like the warrior class. But you do, which this allows you to do. I basically have like any spell that like starting spell you would have as a wizard or whatever.
Can also, because when you level up, you get ability points or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can buy from any of the trees. So there's actually there's a skill under the ranger tree called sniper, which will increase your long distance damage. So, like, you could start an encounter off by, like, if you engage in that, like, with high damage to one of the higher level enemies. They're not leveled, but the higher damage spongy enemies. So you can cut them down a little bit before you run in to engage with your melee.
Hell yeah.
Val, it's cool.
It's good. It's very solid.
Earl, have you played anything this week?
At some point, I will keep my promise to start Indiana Jones. It's not this week. I think I even started on my Xbox to play, and I just did not. What did I play new? I forgot if I talked about this last week. I bought this ages ago. I bought it on the podcast. But WWE 2K24, I started to go through their... I forget what it's called, but last year was the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania, so the big thing is 40 years of WrestleMania, which is that you play out key matches throughout the history of WrestleMania's 40 years, and then within each match, you're given certain objectives or tasks to do in addition to just winning the match. I do like that idea. I think it's fun. I think it's an interesting way to like, prolong matches because, again, you can kind of just game the system. I dislike the fact that it does it in chunks. So you get like three objectives and you complete those three objectives and you get like three more or whatever. And I just, like, there are times where I'm like, I've done this already. Why can't I just get credit for doing it already instead of having like, oh, now the objective's on the screen, now you have to do it. Especially being that even if you complete an objective and you win the match, when you start again, you then have to complete those objectives again anyhow. So it's not like, and some of these have 12, 11 different things for you to do. Which again, I get, but it can also be frustrating because the computer can also reverse like a son of a biscuit. That's it. I do enjoy the setup of it. I do enjoy, I think Corey Graves talks about the match and then they'll show you like a little video package. And then they'll transition from like the video package to the match. And it's not always what you would expect. Like, I think the second one is Andre and Hogan. And you play as Hogan, boo. But you start off that match as Hogan and he's already down. So you're already kind of starting from a disadvantage. And I do like that you then have to kind of work your way back up. And then, you know, so it's a nifty to go through the history of the game. And then, like, I guess I had not played one of these games in forever. I think it might have been 17 or 18. They also just have a crap ton of stuff coming back whenever you complete objectives. Like, each match you'll get, like, two rushes and a bunch of skins and maybe an arena. So it's kind of, you know, it tickles that part of the brain as well. The game is fun. I will say, I think it's one of those things where I had not played the game in a while. They add a bunch of little things every year, which, again, I think if you play it year to year, it's like, oh, this is neat, this is cool. If you have not played it in a while, there's a lot of little systems that I'm like, oh, this is a thing, this is a thing, this is a thing. Like how you do, I forget what they call it, but, you know, like you can have kind of like a suck fest, a back and forth that you do. Like, I punch, you punch, I punch, you punch. And they added that. And like, I don't know how it triggers, but I somehow always end up triggering it. And I think you know, you do it once. You do it once per match. And then sometimes you do it by accident early on. And then that's an objective later on. It's like, oh, okay, great. I can't do it again. So.
And I don't even know how it perks.
Yeah. I'm like, I got to go through the tutorial again at some point to figure out some of this stuff. Because like, there was things where it's like, complete a combo. I'm like, what is a combo? I'm just punching and get, like, okay, no, you got to punch. And then I do a grapple because, again, I'm so accustomed. This isn't even a SmackDown thing. I'm just, my mind is so wired to Aki's N64 wrestling games where, like, you go into a grapple. And from the grapple, you then press, like, A and up, A and down. And you do something similar here, but then it's also the kick button and the punch. And you have a weak attack and a strong attack. And then that's what you combo with the grapple button. Like, okay, this is, you know, taking some getting used to. But again, I enjoy it. I think it's fun. I will continue to play it. I think it's, I'm sure there's a story mode as well, but I think this is also good because it's like one match at a time. So it's not like, oh, I have to get invested in this thing. It's like, I got half an hour. I mean, knock out a couple of Mania matches and see, you know, see the objectives, see which ones they pick. I'm curious to get later on because of the timing of the game when it came out last year. It was just after the whole thing with Brock and Vince, or I guess Vince and Brock. So they were Brock is still in the game, and he's a big part of a lot of the other half WrestleManias. Yeah. I would say definitely
after. I have no idea what you're referencing, by the way, with all your Brock and your Vince. It just doesn't make
sense. Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon.
Okay.
I assume that it is leaked out to everybody at this point that, like, Vince McMahon, you know, had to step down from being chairman of WWE, Tony.
He's a horrible person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brock Lesnar, who was a wrestler, former MMA champ, was tied up in some of that as well. So he's been kind of like banished for a bit. Vince is completely banished. Like, we don't really talk about him anymore. But they keep trying to bring Brock Lesnar back, but.
I don't know if they keep trying to bring him back, but it's like, yeah, I'm sure they're still paying him a decent penny.
Yeah.
And they'll make that. But yes, the long and short of it is he has to separate twice. He separated first time, and then he thought it was going to calm down, so he came back in, and he kind of fought, because it was a private company, so he was still majority well, no, it's probably, but he was majority shareholder. So he just kind of kicked out everybody who would oppose him and placed himself back in as a CEO. That lasted about 6 months as well. And then it came out that, like, this whole thing with his mistress and everything. And part of how Brock got tied up into it was apparently he was using her as part of a contract negotiation. And she'd go to him. It's very skeezy, very disgusting, very gross. But it made them persona non grata. Right, like, this is like end of January. This game comes out mid March, so I think what they did was just like blurred out their faces during the packages and stuff like that, because they couldn't remove them from the game. So yes, that is that. That I'm curious to see what that is. And again,
that all sounds awful. Awful.
I mean, it has to be really hard to like erase one the former owner, chairman, creative head of the organization, who also made himself a major storyline piece for years as well.
Yeah.
And then you know, one of your major stars, who was, you know, a champion and one of your main eventers for, you know, a good chunk of you know, the last 10 years or so of the company. In your biggest matches of the year, it's such a weird situation to be in and try and market it in a video game to people.
Yeah. I mean, somehow, you know, some gamers would be all for it because that's the type of behavior they condone. But yeah, it's very gross. So yes, that is that. And then not so much games. I just want to share my hopeless addiction to YouTube player boosts. Well, not addiction, because some of them are actually really crappy games. Actually, most of them are knockoffs of other games that you've played. But I've been trying them out because, you know, it's just a good way to have access to a bunch of mobile games on my phone without actually having to download them. And, you know, I there's two versions of Solitaire that I tend to play every day on my way home from work, because my main game in the morning is Sudoku, you know, wake up the brain. And then I've been playing this other one recently that I might stop, called Cards Against Zombies or something like that. And it, I think because it doesn't, it's a puzzle game. Well, not a, I don't even know how to describe it, but you don't progress. You know, like how video games, you get better, or you level up, or you unlock stuff. This is just like you grind, you get coins, you buy new characters, but it's still the same. It's a three by three grid. You move around. You know, like, you need to have more health and defense, and they have health. You kill them, you get coins. Nothing changes as far as I can tell. I haven't noticed any, like, oh, I played through this 10 times. Here's a permanent health increase. Here's a permanent... Nope. Like, you get coins and you can buy that stuff at the start, but it seems like a waste, so I'm ditching that. And then another one, which I think are very big mobile games. I think I forgot if I mentioned this last week. Merge games? I don't know if any of you know it, though. I think, yeah. You probably played this, what is it, Suikoden game? Or heard about it. But merge games are essentially, you know, you take two... grapes, the grapes become a strawberry, you take two strawberries, the strawberries become an orange, you take two oranges, it becomes an apple.
Yeah.
So it's essentially that. And this one was essentially dinosaurs, and like, you take the dinosaurs. And apparently I beat it ages ago, and it just kind of repeat apples. It wasn't a real, it's a weird one, because usually they kind of balance it out so that every so often you have to upgrade your characters. This one I just kind of wanted to make, oh, let me just upgrade them and then, you know, grind a couple of apples. But now I can go through most stages and just like wipe anything. So again, it was fun for like a day or two, and then I moved on. Like I said, YouTube playables are just a way when I'm feeling lazy to just like, let me go on my phone and see if I could find something to kill half an hour with.
Cool. Tony? You play anything else besides Valve?
Lots of NBA 2K. Fair. Which I love. Good. Getting close to the end of the season now. Going to go to the playoffs. Very exciting. I've broken every record there is to break, but still playing. It's like when you break Wilt's 100 points in the game. You're like, okay, what do I do from here? Well, I guess I haven't won a title yet, so I have to do that. We'll keep going.
That's normally where I, it's like, oh, I've, cause like you can't, there's no beating a sports game, right? Like it doesn't ever end.
You just play until it's not enjoyable anymore.
Yeah. That's so what it's like, is. You know, I kind of like set a goal, like, you know, if I'm playing NHL, I want to win the Stanley Cup, or if I'm playing Madden, I want to win a Super Bowl or whatever. So
what do you play in Madden if you want to win a Super Bowl? Franchise?
Yeah, either franchise or I create a, you know, what was it? The My Career or whatever it is. The, you know, be a player. I don't know what it's called now, but I would do that. Like I would, you know, go through their career mode as like a quarterback or a running back or whatever. But yeah, if you want to, like, you want to do the Super Bowl thing, you just kind of pick a, be a coach and control both sides.
Okay.
Play to win the Super Bowl.
I was just wondering because I was playing the new Madden and I was like, how do you just play a season? And it just seemed like franchise was the way.
Yeah. That there's no there's no season mode. It's just
franchise. There should be a season mode, but
when did that go away? I used to like.
I don't know. That's how it should be.
Been gone for years now. It's like this. Like,
again, I've not played since I think that's how I played. They were
probably franchise. In franchise, it lets you, it like kind of simulates it, and but then like it'll be like, do you want to play this moment? And you do that.
You should be able to shut that off if you want to play all the games.
Yeah, I guess you could. So you could kind of play it. You could play franchise mode like you're doing a season mode. Like, you know, just want to go through a season. That's kind of. I started that, and. That's cool. That's cool that it's there, but we'll see. I keep going, I should delete this, but I'm like, I don't have anything else to download. You know what I mean? Like
Monster Hunter. Download Monster Hunter.
I've played so many of those. I'm not looking for that new one. I don't know.
All right. No, I was gonna ask before we ended. Who's getting Monster Hunter? Or are we getting Monster Hunter?
I've just played them all. Like it's never anything different. They're always exactly the same. Like the same monsters. And
they add new monsters.
It's the same shit. Most of the
ones you face in the world were different from any of the previous games.
Sure. It's so different. Like
you can ride a thing in this one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm not planning on getting it, but no, enjoy.
I get what you're saying, Jeff, though. It is a lot of it is really so finding the same monsters to get better equipment.
Yeah.
Take on bigger monsters to then grind those monsters.
And I've done that for like hundreds of hours, and you know nothing against it. Nothing against it. That's it. It's just
Tony. Your kids are into Monster Hunter. So
oh man, I bought it on Xbox. I bought it on Steam. Like this game's going to be played quite a bit.
do you know if there's crossplay in it?
There is crossplay, and it's between. Okay. So yeah, so it wouldn't shock me if I also had to buy it on PS5. But like. Both kids and I could all play at the same time, but we'll see what actually happens. And the funny part is, it'll be three separate accounts, all called Napoleon 1066, playing at the same time.
That'll be funny. I did play one or there's a Steam Next Fest going on. Currently, so they have a bunch of demos up. And one that caught my eye from the Game Awards was this game called Wheel World, which is a cycling game. It's like an open world bike racing game. It is by the Nidhogg developers. This is not like Nidhogg, which is like a, you know, Nidhogg is a 2D fighting game. This is a 3D open world, very, I'm trying to like describe how the visual style looks. You guys remember the game Sable that came out a couple years ago? Very, like kind of hand-drawn looking. Or if you've seen the loading screens for Avowed, like it has a very different style to it than the actual game. It's like very kind of minimalist, watercolory kind of look to it. Anyway, Wheel World is set in this kind of like, it's this open world game, but it's set in this like apocalyptic type thing where it doesn't look like that, but the story is that you are basically riding your bike to save the world. As you are collecting all the pieces to make the like golden super bike to go into this like, I think it's called like the snake tunnel or something. So you can sacrifice yourself to save the world. It's very weird, goofy. The biking actually, the racing is kind of neat. It's circuit racing. You're just biking and trying to beat other racers. There's a boost that you build up over time. It's a pretty standard bike game, but there's also like quests and stuff that you go on in the open world. It's weird. I kind of looking forward to it when it comes later this year. So it's going to be a interestingly weird indie bike game. And that's it. I think we've covered everything we've been playing. Jeff's not getting Monster Hunter, so he's looking for something else to install on his Xbox.
Yep. Got to finish the Avowed first, I guess.
Yeah,
I think that's just it. Yeah, just be a vibe.
That's where I'm at, Tony. I don't think I'm gonna buy Monster Hunter until I finish Avowed. It's probably like a better way to approach things anyway. Let's finish what we're playing before we buy a new thing.
Yeah. How dare you do such a thing? That only makes too much sense.
But I think I'm like right around where Jeff is too, and I think there's only four zones of Avowed, so I'll probably be getting Monster Hunter in the next week or so.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. If it comes out as like, oh, this is the definitive, I don't know, but this is what they said about the Switch one, and it was great. It's Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter's fun.
I
played it. I feel like I've bought the same game now four times, so that's kind of where I'm at with
Monster Hunter. And to be fair, there were some, because I think three.
Just they were the same. They like literally
had a lot of re-releases or tries.
Yeah.
There are
like they are often just the same. Like they're just such the same. Like I play like the last one on Xbox for free, and it's the same. Like, it's the same thing. It's literally the same. It's like you're paying $60 for a new game, where it's like you just played it. Like, no offense. Like, and again, like I think Monster Hunter is great. Like, I think Monster Hunter is amazing. It's just I can't buy the same game anymore. I'm good. Unless it's okay. You tell me.
I'm judging you right now. How dare you? How dare you?
I don't know if I could tell you it's different. I will say that reviews are out for it. It's holding an 89 on OpenCritic.
Yeah, but that's because like Monster Hunter is good. Yep. Monster Hunter is very good.
And people that like Monster Hunter really like Monster Hunter. Yeah. There are some complaints about this one.
Being too easy.
Yeah, it's like more streamlined. It looks like they, and they did this with World, right? Like World was more approachable than whatever one you and Fozzie tried to have me play on the Wii. Like that one was fucking nightmarish. I had no idea what I was doing when I tried to play that one with you guys. But World, way more approachable. Way easier to kind of get into. And my understanding is that this one's even easier to get into. And the main story, I don't know if this is true about the other ones. Tony, Jeff, you can kind of like chime in. This one's only about 10 hours long for like the main story. I don't know if the other ones were about that long.
It's not really a story-based game. So right.
I just felt like there's a story,
but then you beat it, and then like the end game is just you go and keep hunting monsters over and over again.
That would be like 60 hours at least in any other Monster Hunter. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I mean, I put like 15 or so hours into World, and I don't feel that I made any major progress. Like
yeah, you did not.
Yeah, it takes time.
Like I got to like a third or fourth cutscene in that game. This one, it sounds like the story is like the tutorial. What my understanding of it is.
Yeah, that's always been the case with the it's always the post game stuff where I think the loop is kind of what Jeff is talking about. The loop is very much kill monsters, get better equipment to kill other monsters, and at some point you run out of monsters, and it's just like, oh, I'm just kind of I want to try the longsword. I want to try the bow gun, so let me grind some more materials to get this new thing.
I'm looking at the achievement list right here, and it's like one of them is like hunted 100 large monsters. Like they don't have 100 different large monsters, right? Like it's there's a good amount, but it's not.
There's a large number, and it gets larger because like after release they keep
adding more.
So.
All right. Well, I am planning on getting it after I finish Avowed, because Assassin's Creed is still a ways off, I believe. So,
yeah.
Well, we will most likely have some Monster Hunter Wilds for next week, probably maybe. Jeff and mine final thoughts on Avowed if we end up finishing it.
Chelsea, I just purchased Earth Defense Force 6, so hopefully time to pay that with it's on sale. Hopefully I find time to pay that with friends this weekend.
I do love an EDF game. They are fun.
Yes.
Did you play the World Brothers games, girl? They're the more like pixelated, blocky looking ones.
Yeah, I think I played because I played 4 and 5, and then I played Iron Sky, I want to say. Okay. I forgot if I got into a Defense Force thing. They're very fun, stupid games. And I think they're using my face. I'll check it and see. I forgot, because I want to get the Pixel one, because it looks like a more, one, it looks nice, but also it seems like it cleans up. They're fun, but they're also fun in spite of them being so damn janky.
Oh yeah, they're a mess in terms of like how they run. They're like slapped together, but fun games for sure.
Yes, fun games though.
All right, well maybe Earl will have EDF 6 next week as well. But we'll be back. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night and good luck.
Woo.
What do we need luck with? What's the luck for?
Everything. Good luck, America.